All right, guys, in light of us finding out that Trump only paid $750 in the year 2016 on his taxes, what have you guys spent $750 on in a year? Me, I'll go first, guys. I've spent more on massages in a year.
Whoa.
Wait,
like,
what?
What kind of massages are these?
Jamie, how about you?
Frank doesn't want to touch it.
How do they
you
end?
Get the whole package on your package? I just want to know.
I want to know how they end. Are they happy? Are they sad? How do these massages end?
It's right? A broke ending. Look, I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to say I spent $750 on Postmates. You know, when you order that Postmates, the food delivery service, and like, you know, but they give you all the options. They give you like every restaurant option in the city. So you're like, yo, you know what? I'm in the mood for some Olive Garden breaststicks for, you know, $75.
Infinite.
Tax, that Postmates tax don't play. It's like, $20 for breaststicks, $150 for the tax. So that's me. I'm spending on food.
But $750 is nothing. I spend that much on my fucking Spotify yearly membership.
What you got the platinum premium package?
What the fuck?
What is that singing, about?
Are the singers coming to your house? Like, what the fuck?
But they're fucking doing live podcasts? Yo, Danny's locked on, son. Get on the mic. Let's go.
They come into my bedroom. I'm just watching back and forth. I'm like,
it's not a bad idea, Spotify. I know you're listening. Not a bad idea. But for me, I paid more for fucking my Metro card on this fucked up urine stench transportation that we had. Oh, so take that. Swipe it.
Take that. Take that to the bank and swipe it.
It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yo,
Thank you. I think the left is a little stronger than the right, but what female doesn't have that problem? Anyway, hey everybody, what's up? It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast. Hi, it's your friend till the very end. I'm not sure when that is. Maybe soon, maybe not, but I'm your friend till the end, Rachel La Loca.
Night.
Oh, I am your friend, not to the end, probably to the middle. Up. Friend to the middle, Jay Fern.
My love is conditional, so you know what's up. Is your co-host, special guest Danny Garcia,
and this is your boy Frank Diz from Washington Heights. You already know.
I hope they already know.
You rep hard, son. You rep it hard.
If you don't already know, you know, listen to the old episodes.
Okay. For the folks in Wisconsin, he's from Washington Heights.
What's you that? Already know.
It's quite the love, and it's quite admirable, Frank. I have to say, you rep so hard that you make people want to be from Washington Heights. That's how deep the love is.
Yo, for real.
He wears it on a sleeve.
I remember the first time that I recorded with you guys. Me and Frank, we all went out to eat, and then me and Frank stayed to like fucking 1-2 in the morning, just talking. At the restaurant, you guys bounced, and I was just like pulling stories out of this guy.
Where were we coming from? Were we shooting something?
No, we were. There was the first time you guys had me on as a guest.
That's when we were in by a harmonic by Dykeman, by the Dykeman. Yeah, so we used to go on and eat afterwards.
Yeah, we went to go out and eat afterwards. Yeah, it was.
You guys remember? Damn, we've been. You know,
that felt like years ago. That feels like a decade ago right now.
Oh, yeah. When we've people actually used to, like, you know, eat together in public.
Yeah.
on a regular basis, yeah.
Even that was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice. I'm glad we were good friends back then. Anyway, so, I You guys, it's been a busy week. I feel a little disconnected. I don't know what's going on in the news. I can't wait to hear today's Bolchiche Bites. I can't wait to hear Frank Spiracy News because I really need to be caught up. I've been engulfed, entrenched in so much fun for the last 7 days. So shout out to Old School Sketch Show over at the People's Improv Theater. You know, Slaney and Sean and Jane Kehoe, fabulous directors of a show. It was really incredible to have worked with some strangers, some other comedians that I know from the biz, as they say, right?
Yeah.
The biz? Is that what it is?
Holly Weird.
Holly.
But like to work with strangers in a writer's room, basically what the show is, in case you don't know, is we go from concept, you know, to pitch meeting, to writer's meeting, to casting, to shooting, to editing in 7 days. Dang. And it's really intense, yo, like intense, because, you know, you want to give it your all. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you guys, but I feel like in sketch comedy and among this generation and network that we've built, there are like no half-assers. Shout out to everybody who's like a non-half-asser. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody on this Zoom call right now, like we're all non, like we have to deliver, right? Don't you feel that way?
El culo entero. Hell yeah.
We got to represent.
I'm a full asser.
Yeah.
No, it was so great. And then the show went up Saturday night on the People's Improv Theaters. The Pit, it's on their Facebook page. It was live. And then speaking of live, like there, I have not participated in any comedy thing that's been live aside from maybe an Instagram live in this pandemic. And I gotta say, shout out to the Pit and the directors. You guys nailed it. Like, so we had the show uploaded on one link on Facebook where we were interacting with people live. Then after that, you got directed to another link, and it was where we did a 20-minute segment of improv. Oh. So we were paired up, and I was paired up with Carmen Mendoza. Shout out to Carmen.
You were doing improv? You?
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
I mean, we've had this conversation before.
Improv an answer.
Yes, and I also felt that I could have, like, you know, it's like a sketch that you have to build, and you have 5 minutes. So you get your suggestion from the audience, and our suggestion was audience, what's a sketch that you've never seen done before that you'd like to see done tonight by Carmen and I? So they told somebody, made the suggestion of the Verizon guy that used to be the AT&T guy that, like, is a traitor, and now he does the commercials for it. So we had him, like, sort of be summoned to hell where I was the devil and I needed better Wi-Fi to watch porn and play Candy Crush.
Wait, that's what you made up that scenario?
Yes.
Wow.
Carmen and I can't think of what that is. 50-50. And then I ran to my kids' costume drawer. Yes, they have a costume drawer. Hi, they're my kids. And I put on everything red. So I had like red kid sunglasses, a ant hat, like a red ant, like a carpenter ant thing. And I had the red cape from fucking PJ Masks. It was so much fun. But you guys, to answer your question, I hated it.
Oh.
That was a long answer. But yeah, we got to conclusion.
Short story long, I hated it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hate it. That's a lie. But improv is, you know, it's not for all, or it maybe is for all, but some have a stronger liking to it than this guy.
It's walking a comedy tightrope. And good sometimes you fall without a net. If you fall without a net, you die, right? So now we're getting morbid.
I didn't die on stage, Jamie. Fuck. Like, I didn't, you know, crash and burn. I still think it was funny. You can go watch for yourself. It's on Facebook now. Go judge me.
What's the thing you most dislike about improv?
Okay. Great question. The honest to God answer is the math of it. The mathematical approach to the improv game as taught by UCB and somewhat the People's Improv Theater, where you have to do your 3 beats, then you exit, then round 2 comes. And this is long form improv. Obviously, Saturday night we did short form. But for me, the mathematics and keeping up with the beats and then escalating the beats and then making it go 3 rounds and then finding the blackout line and then like making it all make sense and be funny. You know? That's what, like, for me, stresses me out.
Yeah, I once bought the Upright Citizens Group Grade text. Yeah, the manual, but it's like a textbook, like one of your old school, you know, history textbooks. You read it, and it reads like you were reading something from, yeah, one of your school textbooks. It's like,
it has a legend and shit like that.
It has a glossary, yeah. A legend, an index.
A glossary.
Right. It has steps. Steps you gotta follow, levels, there's levels to it.
Poop jokes, where's that?
But it's not, it wasn't even a funny book. It was just very much like, this is how it is, and this is a lot big ass book, so you better sit down and read it cover to cover if you wanna even be close to being a good improvisational person. But it just seemed like very opposite of what improv is, you know? I'm like, I'm just gonna go up on stage and wing it, you know? Why do I need this textbook? But you do, it's very... It's a methodological
approach to it as taught by the scholars and, you know, Amy Poehler and them. And that's, I respect that method because it taught me, I learned a lot from it. But for me, it's just hard to, you know, really explore that with the way my brain works on stage. I'd like to explore a character more than remembering, oh, we're on the third beat, so they have to escalate. And I don't want to do that math when I'm on stage. It's, you know, but shout out to all the improvisers out there because it's a thing. It's a real thing.
But Rachel, don't you feel like doing this podcast is sort of improvising?
Totally. In that definition of the term, but in the UCB Pitt definition of the term, it's an actual, like I said, methodological thing. It's a craft, you know, and some people take that craft and like people like this guy, you know, whose line is it anyway?
Brady.
Brady, he's like the master improviser. He follows that same, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he like, it's, you know, he sings a song and it's, you know, it's might as well be, you know, Old MacDonald Had a Farm. It's not really that intricate. But yeah, he gets out of jams by saying,
he gets out of bombing, he starts singing.
And he has a good voice, but he's just basically singing a song and not really, it's not really that clever, but the fact that people know that it's just from the top of his head, it's like, oh my God. But it's like, you know, it's not really good.
But to answer Danny's question, I feel like totally this podcast, there's nothing scripted about this podcast. We've got bullets that we hit. You guys know we talk about it from time to time, but this is all off the cuff. So improv in that sense all day, son. Yep. But improv of the sense of that mathematical shit I spoke about, I just feel like a failure. But the show is so much fun, and check it out. It's on Facebook. The sketches, oh my God, I got to do my Sofia Vergara. Can I give you guys a little taste of it? I had so much fun impersonating Sofia Vergara. By the way, I sound nothing like her, but maybe I do to you. I do to me, but in that fucked up in my brain way. So here it is.
Hola, I am 2019's highest paid television actress, Sofia Vergara.
And I'm Mario Lopez, but you can call me AC Residual Check Slater.
The lights may be dim on the Great White Way, but this Latinx Heritage Month, we're hitting the high notes for your votes with Latinos on Broadway for Biden.
And we're back.
Wow, Rachel, that was amazing.
Yeah, Rachel. Happened.
It was uncanny. Oh, thanks, good word. And I also got to do like my idol Rita Moreno, and I had to end, you know, that with a little improv. You know, it was just all about that, you know, EGOT bitches. I gotta show respect. EGOT.
Word.
EGOT. You know what I mean, so check it out. It's on Facebook. What have you guys been up to? Talk to me.
I mean, I very quickly I sprained my ankle at a children's party.
Nah.
At a kids party.
Wow. Yeah.
I was playing balloon tossing.
There was a fire and you were jumping over the kids to get out of the fire.
I wish it was something cool. Like, y'all was playing ball and I just like sprained my ankle, you know, going to the basket. No, I was playing balloon tossing with a 3-year-old boy. And I slipped on grass, on wet grass.
Damn.
It was wet grass.
Huh?
It's always the wet grass.
I hate wet grass, son. It ruins the whole experience.
And then the little boy was like, what happened, Jamie? And I was like, nah. And I'm there in pain, like, it's like, help me.
You still played balloon toss with him with a sprained ankle?
No. I was on the floor. I was like, I'm falling and I can't get up. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's healing. It wasn't the worst thing ever, but the rest of that party, that kid's birthday party, I had to have my leg up, you know, elevated. Keep your leg elevated. That was everybody's advice.
I thought you kicked one of them upside down. That's why how you sprained it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm good. Jamie loves the kids.
Can we see your foot? Show us your foot.
Well, I'm going to show you a little bit of the rash.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little swoley. It's a little swoley, but
That's a nice leg. You got a good set of sticks.
Yeah, did you shave? Wow.
No, I mean, I take care of my gams.
You know? My gams and my calves.
Danny, you went away too, right? Real quick.
Went away this weekend. I went away upstate to close to Hunter Mountain, and we were staying in this little town called Tannersville. We didn't know that there was gonna be like a little car show there that weekend. Ooh. Or it was just on Sunday. It was one day.
Oh, they were having a COVID car show?
A COVID car show. They were seeing how fast they can spread it.
That's so bad, you guys.
They can spread it fast and furious.
I
know.
I set it up. You hit it out of the park, Jamie. No, me and my wife, we came out of the little place we were staying. We turned the corner. We saw these cars lined up, and we were like, oh, what is this? You know, we didn't expect all this kind of like craziness, because it's like a small town, Main Street, and there's little cafes and stuff we like to go to. But we started walking down to get our coffee at the other end of where the car show was, and we quickly realized, you know, listen, I'm not saying I saw a Confederate flag, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw one. That's all I got to say about that. You know what I'm saying? These types of people. So I don't want to call them types of people. I don't want to judge, right?
Wow, Tannersville. What did you say about Tannersville when you heard this story, Rachel, before?
Oh, well, you know, you go to Tannersville, you hear something. Well, boy, reason why we call it Tannersville, because we don't like them boys that are tan.
They don't like the tanned people.
My wife is white, blonde, and blue eyes, so I'm sure they were like, huh.
Yeah, but Danny too.
You made a poor decision.
Danny, you're a little tan, Danny.
I'm a little tan. Well, I might be a little too tan for them.
Tannersville.
Are you here in Tannersville legally?
You know what's funny? I did hear something else that was really stupid, just really quick. As we were eating outside this cafe, this girl walked by, and she was like, oh, these damn masks, they're getting on my nerves. And then she turns to her boyfriend. She's like, November 4th, baby.
No.
Yeah, I swear to God. We overheard.
What does that mean, girl?
What does that mean? Because let's just say Trump gets reelected. Does that mean COVID goes away the next day? I don't understand where this thought process came from.
I don't understand that. People also think, like, at the end of the year, it's like, yeah. Yo, 2000, I can't wait till this year's over. And it's like, yo, the next day, January 1st, with COVID still going to be around.
It's going to be the best year ever. I'm feeling good about 2021. I don't know. I feel it good.
Yeah. Maybe, like, be more specific. Yo, I can't wait till second quarter of 2021. Right. You know, third quarter. Like, you know, right away, maybe not. But
yeah, exactly. The next day. Boom, right there.
Wait till that summer equinox hits. You know what I mean? As soon as that equinox falls, yo, bro.
But this is good to know, Danny. I'm not going to Tannersville next time. I go apple picking or pumpkin hunting or whatever the fuck you
do. Keep going. You might get hunted.
The tan folk, Jamie. Just remember that, boy.
Well, I've been in the house a lot, so I've been getting real pale. So they probably won't even. They won't even know that. You know.
Jamie just sticking his head out the window trying to get some sun.
Yeah. Even they'll be like, man, you gotta get some sun, boy. You're looking sickly over there.
Yeah, you're looking sickly.
Frank, you're looking good though. You're not looking sickly. What's up? What you been up to?
Yeah, what's going on in Nibs world?
Yo, walking the city, walking a lot, you know. I was in Times Square the other day. I saw Calixto up on the billboard. She bugged me out. Calixto Pinchilla, you know, he's up on a billboard up there in Times Square, was bugged out.
Why
is he on a billboard?
I mean, Calixto Chinchilla, I mean, if people don't know him, he's been on the show about 2-3 times, a dear friend of ours. He's the founder and creator of the New York Latino Film Festival, was just finished wrapping up about 2 weeks ago, and it was a big success. So I think the city of New York, like, gave him, like, a billboard up in Times Square. I mean, humongous.
That's actually pretty cool, but it's also like when you finally get a billboard in Times Square and like no one's in Times Square.
That's true. Yo,
it's like, yo, my billboard is in Times Square.
The pandemic.
Yo, only the people that work at the new Krispy Kreme store saw it.
Cops saw it. There's a lot of cops in Times Square, right?
The
or
cops.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yo, I see kids smoking weed right there, like in Times Square, like nothing, puffing, like nothing. It's crazy out there. It's bugged out.
It's like pre Giuliani Times Square.
Oh yeah. Well, no, but there's not enough peep shows now though.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be sanitary nowadays anyway. It'd be like a peep show now. You got to follow all the rules. You got to wear gloves.
But that's good marketing. COVID-friendly peep show. Put that on a sign. You'll have a line down the motherfucking block. Yo.
You walk
I
in
there. Bring the peep
hand
show
sanitizer
back,
and lotion.
Yo, check out my new hip hop song. Peeping during a pandemic.
So I peep. Yeah, just peep
during
the
pandemic.
During a pandemic.
We cannot break out into song. If that were just podcast, I mean, we have the right players here.
We're not Wayne Brady. Come on, take it easy.
Yep, there you go. Wayne Brady callback. The height of the show right now.
That's it. We peaked. It's all downhill from here. We peaked.
whose line is it anyway, though, really?
Oh!
So I think the moral of the story is Frank needs to stay away from Times Square peep shows. Two or three that are left, like in Skid Row of Times Square.
Yo, you onto something, son. But it's now time for Bochicha Bites. Great segue.
Oh, amazing. Beautiful.
I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochicha Bites. I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochicha Bites.
Yo, all
hey,
right.
Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, man?
Chilling, right?
Welcome to another edition of Bochicha Bites.
Right. Yes. I've been waiting all night.
Can't wait.
Like the theme song.
Bites. It rhymes. Anthony Palmini's brilliant.
Anthony Palmini, shout out to Anthony Palmini.
Brilliant.
Who actually had a birthday recently.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Palmini.
Love you.
Happy belated.
I got an email today to be his friend on LinkedIn. I don't know why. Today. Of all days.
Oh, this is not a bite, but what do you guys get people congratulating you on LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. No, but I get the emails to congratulate people.
On work anniversaries. So I'm always getting LinkedIn. I'm always getting people thanking me for work anniversaries. And I think my job that I put there was like a job that I had like in the early 2000s. Like, it's not even occurring. But they're like, congratulations on your 20-year work anniversary. I'm like, no, that's not the same job that I had.
Yo, son, you know what's worse is that LinkedIn gives you those pre-typed out responses. So the shit that you're getting isn't even genuine, Jamie.
Yeah.
The shit that you're getting is a pre-typed thing that says, hey, do you want to congratulate Jamie on his 35-year work anniversary? Click here. And then it says, congrats, Jamie, on your 35 years.
Jamie, like, that was my first job. I don't work at an ice cream shop anymore. This is like,
I haven't worked as a paper boy in 25 years. What is
congratulations
this?
Congratulations on your route, Jamie Fernandez. Congratulations on your route.
On your promotion. I'm now head paper boy. I went from assistant paper boy to paper man. Now I'm a paper man.
Shout out to Paperboy. That was like my favorite Nintendo game ever. Did you guys play Paperboy? And he had to like throw the
shout
newspaper.
Out to all the paper men out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, son. Anyway, I think it's Bochicha Bite time.
Paper boys to paper men. But it is Bochicha Bite time. Guys, the MTA had a my whole bites is all about the MTA. There's like these stories that were coming out. First of all, a secret man cave was discovered under Grand Central Terminal.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had a futon, a refrigerator, a flat screen TV, hideaway beds, and a streaming TV service was discovered as well. So they got the Netflix.
So they got
Hulu.
They had Murphy beds on top of it.
And they found mad condoms on the floor because you know that shit was the smash cave. You know that shit was the Grand Central whole terminal smash cave.
Wow. It's like they told girls, they give the directions and the girls will be like, the Uber just sent me to this random subway station.
I'm in the train station. Do you live in the train station? What? It's kind
of
hot.
Follow the steps on the side of the platform. You'll find me. Just keep going.
Shorty, follow the smell of the urine. You know what I'm saying? You smell the piss? Yeah, you're going the right direction. You see a bum. Make a left at the bum. Tell the motherfucker I said, what up?
Go down the steps, into the tracks, but bro, be careful with that third rail. My last day is still in the hospital.
Stay on your right. On your right.
Shorty, grab some of your friends and let's run a train in this train smash cake. Come on, son.
Wow.
Running a train has a new meaning. Jesus.
That sounds fun, though. When you say a smash cave, sounds like some ride on an action park or some shit. It's like, yo, remember when we were in a smash cave when we fucked up our shit?
So much fun.
I fell off the
oh my God. We like smashed while riding the smash cave. It was so hot.
There were Murphy beds. That shit was fancy. Hulu, so, Netflix.
Yo, these people, I think they were, and I think they were spending this money, that all the stuff that they used, that they bought for the Smash Cave, they were spending taxpayers' money. So is this why the MTA keeps raising the, you know, the prices for Metro cards and all that shit? To support this Smash Cave? Like, what the fuck?
There's probably a lot of Smash Caves all over the MTA.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all shutting down shop right now before they all get busted. Yeah,
right,
they're tearing the Smash Cave down. All right, we're going to relocate real quick. All right, y'all hear me? Yeah, like Channel 4 on the walkie. Channel 4 on the walkie.
There's a map that has them all out all over the city.
Like, you know this, right? Isn't there an underground people that, like, live in New York City?
Yeah, they're called the Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles.
Not Jamie.
Not those guys. They're heroes, Jamie. Not them.
Michelangelo and Donatello and them.
I think there used to be, right, Frank? I think I saw a documentary where
Dark Days.
Dark Days. Right. And it was like all these people, and they actually, like, yo, some of the spots they created on the subway were bigger than most apartments in the city.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah. It's a whole network down there. There's people that live down there, by the way.
Yeah. And they get around and shit. They go grocery shopping, but down there.
Down there?
The best produce.
Yo, they call Instacart. Instacart goes right down there. They open up the sewers. They're like, yo, I got your groceries.
They open up the grate and just drop the bag. Yo, this is for you, Carlos.
Somebody ordered Amazon train. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Amazon train.
Amazon Express.
But guys, that's not the only news coming out of the MTA, right?
Oh, okay. White House. Oh shit.
The MTA board finally is officially banning pooping in subways and buses.
Finally?
Oh, finally.
Officially.
Officially, because this wasn't against the law like last month, but now.
Had I known,
watch out, people with bad bladders. I don't understand. I mean, look, we all know. So okay, first of all, people that are not from New York that are listening in, seeing poop on a subway is very common.
Yes.
It's not uncommon. So a lot of the people we're listening, their subway system is cleaner and maybe. Ours, no. We up, there's like, it's like a landmine of human shit that we have to walk so around.
You know what's urine, about
God knows what other excretions.
It's so specific. Like, it's not dog shit. You can smell human shit right away and be like, no, that's a person. That was a person.
That's human shit.
That's a skill we all picked up like at an early age. Like, we can recognize dog shit, the difference between dog shit and human shit.
And that's how you know you're a New Yorker. Forget about this whole, I've been robbed. Or I've been here for no. When you can distinct,
can you tell shit?
Human shit from dog shit or cat shit? You're a New Yorker.
I didn't think so. Exactly. You're not a New Yorker.
Wow.
And we all know the subway cart where like the bum has shit on himself.
Yeah.
That's the one that's always empty, right? And so sometimes you don't even have to see it. We just know from the smell that it was recently done you're like 2 minutes ago. You're like, you can do the timing yourself. You're like, somebody just shit like 30 seconds ago. I know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a certain rhythm that New Yorkers know, right? Well, there's a train rhythm.
Yeah. I was going to say during the summer, when the train starts pulling into the station, you know, because that is the only empty cart because either there's no AC or somebody just took a shit in that cart because every other cart is full except that one.
You know what's funny sometimes is when the tourists walk onto that cart. Honey, a whole cart to ourselves. Oh my God.
Have I told you the story? I saw this woman.
I love the city.
You see them through the glass holding their noses like, we're going to get off as soon as this freaking thing pulls in the station.
And then they see the other people like in the packed train the next door and they're all looking at them like shaking their heads. Like,
or they don't even notice. They don't
Stupid.
Even know. I saw this woman getting on the train one time. We were all on the train. This guy was shitting on the other side. We were all on the opposite side of the train. This woman walked in oblivious. She's saying bye to her friend. Okay, girl, I'll see you tomorrow. All right. Hey, take care. Get home safe. The door's closed. She doesn't notice the separation between us and the bum. And she goes, damn, it stinks in this car. Turn around, lady. There's a man shitting right next to you.
Duh. Have any of you ever had the urge to shit on a train or bus?
The urge to shit on public transportation.
No, I've had the
urge. You know, like to go in between the cars. Go in between the cars, no?
I mean, that is some balancing act. I don't know if I can pull that off.
I mean, I will say.
I am not that nimble.
The only thing that comes close to that for me is when I was pregnant, you know, look, I couldn't hold it all. So, you know, a little spritz on the train, but not because I had the intent, only because right. I was 9 months pregnant and my bladder couldn't take it.
You put your unborn child in danger too, Rachel.
Listen, a little spritz. And then I got off and I made it. You know what I mean?
Maybe just sit on a garbage can or something. Maybe just put it in a garbage can and let it out. No, at the next stop.
You cannot hold it.
Yeah, you sit on the top of the garbage can, just let it go.
You know how tall these things are?
Wait, 5 feet tall. I'm talking about while I'm on the train, like on.
You step on the wooden chairs that they have on the platforms.
Right.
And you jump on top of the garbage. Not that I've done it. I just from you know.
I think you've done it.
I've done it all the way at the end. You usually go, if you want to take a shit or take a pee, you go all the way to the end of the platform. I took a shit one time, like when I was 13 years old.
What? In between the cars?
No, on a platform. I had to take a shit. I was on 14.
On a platform?
It's the only shit. And I had a towel in my bag. I had to take a towel and I wiped my ass.
Wow.
And that's how you know you're a New Yorker.
So was this the number, near the number two line?
Guys,
I got one more bite. Everybody knows Vin Diesel, right? Big fan. Well, he's getting into singing now, evidently, because he got a new song and is actually pretty catchy. It's called Feel Like I Do.
Oh no.
And it's just kind of him just singing along to like a European house beat, you know, very catchy.
With that voice
like this, like he talks like this,
he kind of is changing his voice. First of all, there's so much modulation, there's so much studio magic that's done to his voice in this song.
And all the tools.
And he's trying to sound, he almost sounds like Southern. He's like, oh, I do feel like I do. And the beat's so catchy that I don't really think people are going to know that it's even him. You know what I'm saying?
Jamie's imitation was as close to mine as, and we're both very Vin Diesel. Like,
so I already made kind of a Fast and Furious reference before, but I did have a joke saying like, I will definitely be turning this song off fast and furiously. But I also made, so that joke loses the impact that it had because I do make another funny Fast and Furious joke earlier on in the show. But you know what? I'm just, you know, this is what the show's about. Keeping it real. I want people to know that I had that joke.
I have been real funny.
I have the same punchline for two different jokes. It's fine. It's okay. 2020, y'all. Give me a break.
Do you think they're going to remember it? Come on. There's enough time that lapsed in between both jokes.
I think Vin Diesel, maybe, I think he should have just become a DJ because then you could just call yourself Spin Diesel.
Oh, yes, Jamie.
Okay, guys. Guys, but this isn't all about jokes. I actually, before we get off this topic, I want to know, what is your favorite song of all time that was released by an actor? So like an actor all of a sudden thinks they want to become a singer. What is your favorite song that where you're actually, wow, this actually has a good song?
Yo, straight up, I'm going to tell you right now, when Shaquille O'Neal dropped Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu, we got nothing to prove, Shaq Fu.
Were you serious? No, I'm not serious.
That was fucking horrible. No, but I did like Eddie Murphy. My girl wants to party.
And that didn't sound like him. That sounded like that was some studio shit too. I didn't even sound like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
I'm like in between two. My second, I guess my runner-up is Alyssa Milano. Remember she dropped that album, Teen Steam, Gotta Let It Out. It was all about like empowerment. Oh my God, it was all over the television. She was hot. She was on Who's the Boss? And she had an album all about like.
I had a huge pleasure her, so I probably would have been listening to that shit.
Google it. Teen Steam was the hit, but that's not my favorite. My favorite is "What Else Can I Say Except You're Welcome" by The Rock on the Mulan soundtrack. I mean,
damn, The Rock and Vin Diesel going at it in a battle. They got beef.
A single
so in a battle of singles.
Versus
I think
versus all day. The Rock versus Vin Diesel.
One song.
Versus You're Welcome.
It's just the one song.
The shortest verses ever and shit.
He sounds really good, and the song teaches your children good manners. It's really a fun song, and he's so funny in it. The Rock, just The Rock for president.
Rock does
I know
that
he's out there endorsing yes. others, but
he had me at that smile. He had me at that.
Frank, what is your choice?
I wish I had Jesse's girl. Rick Springfield.
Oh,
Rick Springfield. The thing is, yeah, Rick's. But here's the thing: Rick Springfield, was he an actor first?
Yes, he was. He was on soap operas.
Oh, he was. I didn't know that. Was, no, I didn't know if it was first or it was before or after that. But yeah, he was in soap opera.
Yeah, he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So see, Frank was. He kind of already knew.
Frank dropping that novela knowledge.
Frank was.
Yeah.
Let's go, Frank.
Frank was waiting for. Frank was waiting for somebody to ask that shit.
He was like, oh, good, I'm good. I get to flex my novela knowledge.
Yo, Jerry has a good one. Shout out to Jerry Diaz. Bette Midler. Did you ever know that you're mine? That song made me cry, son.
Beneath my wings.
Yo, that scene from Beaches? Come on, bro. Tell me you ain't crying.
Wait, who are you calling a beach? I'm going to just say mine real quick. Patrick Swayze, She's Like the Wind.
Oh,
nobody beats Swayze. Nobody beats Swayze. And nobody puts Swayze in a corner. Nobody puts Swayze in a corner.
Jamie, I'm listening. I'm picking up on another theme for our karaoke off. I'm picking up on a theme.
Oh, shit.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Because if you didn't think we can't embarrass ourselves more than we did the first time, we could.
We could.
I'm available to judge, by the way, and I would not be biased, Danny, just so you know.
Oh, here we go.
Finally.
All right, guys. Before we get into that whole...
Yo te tengo.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, I think it's time for Frank's News.
Live from La Gran Manzana, it's Frank Spiracy News with Frank Nibs.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
How's it going?
Frank, great.
Great.
Been better now.
Guys, well, Rachel, this is not good news for you, but maybe it's good news for the guys.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Guys, today we're going to talk about diamonds, all right?
Oh, okay.
And guys, I found out that diamonds, they come up with this thing like diamonds is like a girl's best friend and all this stuff, but this is something
they are.
They are, Rachel, I got news for you.
BFF, bestie.
This is the greatest myth ever sold, that diamonds are rare, that
diamonds
are related to love.
Blood diamonds?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Guys, this came up in 1947. It was a big marketing ploy that they did. Rachel, you were into marketing. You know what's up already. We're not going to get into it.
We're around 1947.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the biggest slogan ever is a diamond is forever. That slogan is the most famous slogan ever. And this marketing firm from Madison Avenue came up with the slogan. You've also heard.
Even though your marriage might not be forever, a diamond.
The diamond will be.
Yeah. The diamond will be.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. They also say the bigger the diamond, the greater the heart when it comes to men.
The sweeter the juice.
Yeah, I know. I never heard that one before.
Rihanna's song, Shine Bright Like a Diamond. Like, ooh, I can keep on going. That's and guys, one. Listen to this. They have vaults and vaults and vaults of diamonds. And they make us think that they're rare, but they have this. So they create a supply and demand thing, making you think that. So what do you guys feel about that? I know, Rachel, you know, as a female, what do you think about that? A guy having to give you a nice diamond, if it's small, it's not real love. What do you think about that?
You're asking me a lot right now.
On the spot.
Do we have 45 minutes? Listen, look.
Does size matter? Does size matter? In the diamond world.
Keep it real.
What about diamonds?
The celebrities, the havers, really floss like that shit is, the truth. The bling, That whole era, I feel like we lived through that shit. Cash Money Millionaires, like, it's held to such an extreme, like, it probably never has been, starting with all of that. Flossing. I know I sound like an, you know, the kids, they floss.
With their jewelry.
But even, but Rachel, even you finding out from this report that diamonds are, like, not even worth anything. Like, this report, they're really not, it's not even worth anything. You still.
But I have a question. Here's my question. Okay, I get it. Maybe they're in abundance or they're not as scarce as we thought they were. But each diamond is different, is unique, right? I mean.
That is true.
The cut, the color, the clarity. You know we know the C's, ladies. Stand up right now out there in podcast land if you know the C's. If you're a man that your woman wants a ring for, she's looking to get engaged, you better look up those C's. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Guys, what do you feel about that? I know that.
Beautiful and special to me.
I thought I just called Jared.
Listen, I got mad coal in my backyard. I just like I put them under some like bricks and shit, and I'm hoping the pressure. Yeah, I know it's gonna take a while.
Daddy, very good. Daddy, you can. You guys, you can make diamonds out of certain. People make diamonds out of in labs, like Danny said.
Danny has a lot of prospectors in his family.
Right, guys, you could even take a human. You could even take a human body and turn into a diamond. By the way.
I've shot
obviously, look at me.
Oh, no.
I've found diamonds in my poop before. You're right. You're right, Frank.
Oh, wow. That must have hurt coming out. Shit.
Yeah, I'd like to find that poop in the subway. Be like, there there's a diamond in here. There's a diamond in here, yo. Ew. Give me the gloves.
Ew. Would you dig through shit for a diamond? Would you? No gloves. Answer.
No gloves?
No gloves. Oh, shit.
It's got to be a big diamond.
Human then, shit. Human then shit the diamond in the tree. Movie,
then the size of the diamond matters.
It better be an uncut gem.
Daddy, answer me, please.
I hear you. I never, look, I'm not a person who likes jewelry or things like that, so I never understood the concept of this, you know. But I lucked out. I had my wife's grandmother's diamond to propose to her with. So I kind of looked out in that area.
Oh. Damn, son, for real?
Yeah. So I bought her a ring, but I had to die. Her diamond was gifted to me from her family. So
damn.
Oh, you were lucky mofo, man.
Yeah, none of my grandmoms are alive. I can't take advantage of that.
Find
shit.
Somebody else's grandma.
Yeah, I gotta find someone else's grandma.
Just find her grandma.
I want you to have my ring, friend of
come on, give me that.
Friend of my grandson. Here's my ring.
Yo, could I borrow your grandmom's real quick? Like, I just want to hang out with her a few times.
Nah, I'm just, you got to build that relationship. Nah, I'm just hanging with your grandma, man. We just used to eat.
We're watching Netflix.
You know, Toblerones. It's a Toblerone and a Netflix night, yo. Not Toblerone. Is that an old, what's the old person candy?
Yeah, Toblerone.
No, it's not Toblerone. It's, oh, man. Celadora. There's one more. Celadora is one, though.
My grandmother always had them shits in the house.
Yeah, my grandmother always had the Brocks, B-R-A-C-K or B-R-A-C-H-S, the Brocks, like candy. You want some sucking candy?
Oh, Werther's Original.
The grandfather was in the commercial.
They like that caramel shit or something like that.
Well, guys, the ring is over. This combo's over. Fake news is over. Thank you very much, folks.
Yes, Ring! Yes.